Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. It's really good to be here. It feels like I've been away forever, even though it's only been a couple of weeks. I'm really glad to be back. I feel rejuvenated and excited to be back to it again, be back among you. This morning, I want to talk about a theme and a message from Psalm 16. It's a pretty short psalm. I want to just start by reading the whole thing. It's 11 verses. And so we'll read Psalm 16, 1 through 11, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Preserve me, O God, for in you do I put my trust. O my soul, you have said unto the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness extends not to you, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names to my lips. The Lord is my portion of my inheritance, and of my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol. Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So a really short psalm, as I said, it's only 11 verses, but there's a lot there. I know we're all familiar with verse 10, but I see three major themes that carry on to us today that David writes here. First off is this message that God preserves. This begins with, preserve me, O God, for in you do I put my trust. And I want to read the first four verses again. O my soul, verse 2 now, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness extends not to you, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. So there's this message, this thought of God preserves and that we should dwell on things that are pure. That's certainly a message that carries forward today. One thing that I'm not sure how the King James came to the translation, but verses 2 and 3 are completely different from the way I just read it in virtually every other translation I could find. Basically, the thought is not that my goodness extends not to you, but to the saints that are in the earth. The thought that appears to be there, I'm basing this off of the other translations that I was looking at, that I have no goodness separate and apart from God. My goodness comes from God. And then in verse 3, that the saints are the saints are what's pure and are what's excellent. And so he says, in whom is my whole delight? So he says, I delight in the things that are pure. I delight in the things that are excellent. That's the idea that's being portrayed there. I have no goodness separate from God. God preserve me. God take care of me. That's the idea. So certainly we can see those same things for us today. If you'll put a marker here in Psalm 16, we'll be coming back, taking this as our text this morning, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. This statement that Jesus makes here is recorded also in Luke. I believe it was chapter 12. But I like the setting here, the arrangement of the text better in Matthew. verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupts, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's the statement that I think really is the driving force here, that where your treasure is, your heart's going to be there too. We talked about that a little bit this morning in our class, how when your thoughts are on heavenly things and on pure things and holy things, you don't have these sinful, wayward thoughts that sneak up on you like they do when you're dwelling on the physical things and on the not even necessarily unwholesome things, just things that are not God. When you're dwelling on the things of this world, that's where your treasure is and that's where your thoughts remain. And so when our focus is on the things above, then that's where our thoughts will be too. That's where our heart will be. And the verse that I wanted to tie that to is in back to verse 4 in Psalm 16. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. So what does it look like to have your to say, God preserve me, my thoughts are and my things are on you? It looks like I will not lean after the other gods. I will not offer their drink offerings, this is the blood offerings, and nor will I take their names unto my lips. And so when Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, we don't necessarily have these gods that they had. But we have things. We have technology. Where do you spend your time? Is it on movies? Video games? Probably not in this group. But the news? I've known a lot of Christians who just turn on the news and that is running nonstop in their house. They never turn it off. Why? But if that's where we put our focus, if that's where we put our time, then that's what sticks with us. And then Philippians chapter 4, and this statement beginning in verse 7 certainly can't apply to the news. Philippians 4 and verses 7 through 9. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That a lot of times we just read verse 8, but look at what he says in verse 7. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If that's not a message of preservation, I don't know what is. God will preserve you. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's a strong statement, and it's really hard. That's a really hard thing to manage, especially if we have the news going all the time, because the news is nothing but negativity. It makes it sound like there's nothing but sorrow and woe in the country, and that's not true. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on those things. If there be anything of good report, think on those things. That's where our mind is to be. And as Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we focus and we hone in on the negative things all the time, then that's where our heart's going to be, is in the negative things. I know when I worked at a collection agency, and I worked there almost 2 years, and at the end of that, I was telling people, this job is eating my soul. I need to go somewhere else, because I was dwelling on the negative things. I'm talking to the people who are deliberately and intentionally not paying their bills and falling into debt. I was losing my faith in humanity because those are the only people that I was talking to. And so it was not a good situation to be in because, well, like I told people, it's eating my soul. And so that constantly dwelling on the negative does affect you. It affects your demeanor. It affects your behavior. I found myself snapping at people, and I never had a temper before that. So this other thought that I want to get to that David brings up, he says, "The Lord is my inheritance." And I want to start in verse 4 again. "Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names to my lips." So he says, I'm not even going to say the name of these gods that the drink offerings are to glorify. "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." So he says, God is my inheritance. That's hard for us to wrap our minds around the import of that today. But think of this from the standpoint of the Jews, where they had their lot, meaning a particular physical lot of land that was given to them. And he says at the end of verse 5, "You maintain my lot, and the lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. I have a good lot given to me because God is with me." If we turn to Numbers chapter 18, what David is referencing here is actually the lot and the inheritance that was given to the Levites. I want to read verses 1 through 8 to get a good handle on what's being said here. "The Lord said to Aaron, 'You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And your brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, bring with you, that they may be joined with you and minister unto you. But you and your sons with you shall minister before the tabernacle of witnesses, of witness. And they shall keep your charge, and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come near the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, neither they nor you also, that neither they nor you also die. And they shall be joined unto you, and keep your charge of the tabernacle of the congregation. For all the service of the tabernacle and a stranger shall not come near to you. And you shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel, and you are given as a gift for the Lord, to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall keep the priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and you shall serve. And I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that comes near shall be put to death. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, Behold, I have given you the charge of my heave offerings and of the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto you I have given them by reason of anointing, and to your sons by an ordinance forever." And then skip down to verse 20, we get the why. "And the Lord spoke to Aaron, You shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any part among them. I am your part and your inheritance among the children of Israel." So what God is telling the Levites and the priests and the sons of Aaron here is that he's bestowing a great honor on them. This is not a punishment. This is an honor. He says, you're not going to have an inheritance like the rest of your brethren. Yours is completely different. I am giving you the keeping of the law. I'm giving you the keeping of the tabernacle. I'm giving you myself as your inheritance. He says, I, the Lord, will be your inheritance. And so what David says here, even though he's from the tribe of Judah, is he says, the Lord is my inheritance. He says, I don't count the things that I have on this earth as my inheritance. God is my inheritance. Keeping his law, obeying his commands is my inheritance. That's my joy, that's my peace. And in Ephesians chapter 1, if you turn to Ephesians 1, look how many times we see this same thought for us as Christians. We'll start in verse 3 and we'll go ahead and read through verse 14. And look how many times we get this thought of God and Christ as our inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things to the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you had believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Over and over we have the thought there that we are the heritage of God. We have God as our inheritance. And so this is a common thought for us today, even as Christians, that God is our inheritance. Christ is our inheritance. And we have inherited all things in Christ. And then in Galatians chapter 4, and verses 21 through the end of the chapter. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was made by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which is engendered to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So hold there just a second. The idea here is completely backward. This would be a slap in the face to the Jews. He takes the children of Hagar, which was Ishmael, and he says that this is Isaac. And he says that those who are under the law are under the bondwoman. That's not how I remember the story. I remember you have Ishmael born of the bondwoman, and then of the free woman you had Isaac. So he takes this and he says that the physical Jerusalem is the son of the bondwoman. And then picking up in verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, you that you barren that do not bear, break forth and cry that travail not. For the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it now is. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall be heir with the son of the free woman, shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So he says we are the children of promise. And so you have this kind of backward picture that Paul takes here. He says the Gentiles are of the free woman, and the physical Jews are of the bondwoman. Because we are the ones who are born after the promise. And so again, you have this idea that Christians have God as our inheritance. This is certainly something that carries forward today. And then lastly, you had God as my wisdom. I have no wisdom on my own. My wisdom is from God. So you have, picking up in verse 7, we'll read through 11. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And I think this is the crux of the passage. Because I have set the Lord before me, and because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That goes all the way back to verse 1. Preserve me, O my God, for in you do I put my trust. He says, because I put my trust in God, I will not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So the end, often we have the picture painted of the things that are pleasure in this life, the end of that is death. Here he says, if you put the Lord before you, then the end of that is life and peace and pleasure forevermore. But in verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. What he's saying is, the Lord is my wisdom. The Lord is my, not really intellect, but my insight. Compare that to Psalm chapter 1. That's kind of a sum up of the whole chapter in Psalm 1. I want to read that. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in its seasons. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does it shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff of the wind driven away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So you have this same thought. You have the tree planted by the waters. And then you have this, because God is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So you have this same picture that, like a tree that's planted by the waters, I'm unmovable. The wind isn't going to blow me over. Those who stand in God's counsel will stand always, is the idea that's portrayed. And then if we turn to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verses 19 to 25, and then we'll jump ahead a little bit into chapter 2 and get the conclusion of where Paul's going with this. So 1 Corinthians 1, picking up in verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and of the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Jump ahead to verse 1 of chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech, nor of wisdom, or declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Christ and Him crucified. The simplicity of God is wisdom. He says that the Jews seek after a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but Paul came with none of those things. He determined to know nothing among them save Christ and Him crucified. And if you turn to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 to 6. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the necessity of putting God first at the forefront of our thoughts and allowing Him to be our wisdom and not going after the wisdom of men is life and peace. But the flip side is death. And there you have that image again. So I want to compare that with that last statement there in verse 11. If you'll turn back to Psalm 16, verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's look at that again, what Paul said there. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free of the law of sin and death. So you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He says that if we, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul basically summed up that last verse of Psalm 16. So in wrap up, how do we do this? How do we set ourselves? How do we get ourselves in the mindset that God will preserve me and God is my inheritance and God is my wisdom, and shut out the other things that try to creep in? How do we get ourselves to that point? And I want to look at a couple of things that we have from the Scriptures. If you'll turn to Daniel 1, as Daniel is exiled and taken away from his home and away from his family and away from his people, he did something. I just want to read verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He took steps because he had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And if we turn to Ezra, chapter 7, we find a similar statement from Ezra. Ezra 7 and verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So we do this, we get ourselves into this place where we can recognize that God is our preserver. And we can recognize that God is our inheritance and that God is our wisdom if we purpose in our heart and we prepare our minds. That's the only way we're going to pull that off. We have to make a conscious effort to do it. So I would invite you this morning, that's the lesson is yours. I would invite you this morning to make that your goal. Recognize God as your preserver. Recognize God as your inheritance and recognize God as your wisdom. Don't let the wisdom of man creep in. Man has all kinds of things. Oh, but it's science! That's the statement that's floating around right now. Oh, but it's science! Science this and science that. Well, you wouldn't want science over religion or science over superstition. You wouldn't want to put those things above science. Science is so much more important. The wisdom of man is foolishness before God. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, is what Paul said. That's how he put it. So, purpose in your heart, not to be defiled by the things of the world, not to be defiled by the sciences, the idea that gender is fluid and can just change at a whim. We're calling that science now. If that's not foolishness, I don't know what is. That's plumb stupid. That's not science. There's no science in that at all. But we're calling it science. Men are calling that science. That's not science. That's plumb stupid. You can quote me in that on that one. So if there's anything you need at this time, if there's anything that you have, if you have not made God your preserver, if He is not your wisdom, if He is not your inheritance, now's the time to make Him so. Now's the time to purpose in your heart. There have no guarantee of tomorrow. So if there's anything that you need, now's the time. Together we stand and as we sing the song that was selected.